Our reading this morning is from Psalm 106. Firstly, reading verses 1 to 23. You'll find this on page 505 of the Pew Bible if you want to follow along, although the version we're reading this morning is a different translation than that you'll find in the Pew Bible. This is God's word for us. So this is Psalm 106, verses 1 to 24. Hallelujah! Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, because his covenant love is forever. Who can speak of the great deeds of the Lord? Make heard all his praise. Blessed are those who watch over justice, who do what is right at all times. Remember me, Lord, when you act in favor to your people. Visit me when you save them, to see the welfare of your chosen ones, to rejoice in the joy of your nation, to glory with your inheritance. We and our fathers have sinned. We've gone wrong. We've done evil. Our fathers in Egypt did not ponder your wonderful works. They did not remember the abundance of your covenant love, and they rebelled by the sea of reeds. Yet he saved them for his name's sake, to make known his might. And he rebuked the sea of reeds, and it dried up. And he led them through the deep, as though a wilderness, and he saved from the power of the one who hated them, and he redeemed them from the power of the enemy, and the waters covered their foes. Not one of them remained. And they trusted in his words, they sang his praise. They quickly forgot his works and did not wait for his counsel. And they had a deep desire in the wilderness, and they tested God in the wasteland. And he gave them what they asked, and he sent them a wasting into their being. And they were jealous of Moses in the camp, of Aaron, the Lord's Holy One. The earth opened and swallowed Dathan and covered over Abiram's company, and fire burned in the company. Flame set the wicked ablaze. They made a calf at Horeb. They bowed to a molten image, and they exchanged their glory with the image of a grass-eating bull. They forgot God, their rescuer, who did great things in Egypt. Wonderful works in the land of Ham, awesome acts at the Sea of Reeds. And he said he would wipe them out, except that Moses, his chosen, stood in the breach before him to turn back his rage from destroying them.
Let's share our prayer together. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your great glory our supreme concern. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we begin once upon a time, I guess you would know what you were going to expect to follow on. A story, perhaps, of a puppet maker who makes a wooden puppet, which ends up becoming a real boy once upon a time. Wonder if you remember the entertainer, he used to be on the television quite a bit, and his catchphrase was, "I want to tell you a story." Anyone remember? My dad used to tell me about him. Max Bygraves? Some people remember Max Bygraves. Good, good. "I want to tell you a story." He kind of groaned because you knew it was going to be some corny joke that he was going to come out with. There are lots of different stories which we can tell. We don't just have one sort of story. We can tell fairy stories. We can tell funny stories. We can tell completely made up stories. The President of the United States, it appears, can stand before a cheering crowd and tell them a story that goes, "They love me over there," meaning here. "They love me over there. They think I'm great." And they call him Boris Trump. Has anyone ever called Boris Johnson Boris Trump? What sort of story does this man think he's telling? We can tell the same story from different ways, from different perspectives. And I guess many of you here, in your profession, will have experienced this. You can listen to a prosecuting counsel and a defence counsel start with the same evidence and tell completely different stories. Your point of view, your perspective, influences and changes the story which you tell. As humans, we can only tell stories from our own perspective. There are no neutral stories. There are no uninterested perspectives. Once we recognise that truth, we can work hard to improve, especially our telling of our own story, to be aware of our own bias, our own self-interest. What story then shall we tell? Psalm 106, which Kenny read for us, is a long poem. A long poem retelling the story of the people of Israel in relation to God. That's the point of view, that's the perspective which the psalm takes. What story will we tell about ourselves in relation to God? Not the story we might want to tell about ourselves, not the story we might imagine would make a great Hollywood movie, but the story of us as we encounter and engage with God. The story of God, that great big story, how will we tell that story and our place in it? Psalm 106 will help us with these questions. In the psalm, the story is told in four movements. Approach to God, petition to God, confession to God, praise of God. It's the people's story, but the focus in the telling is in God and how they relate to God. When we tell our story, do we have our focus on God and his involvement in our story? We can use these same four movements to shape the way we would tell our own story. What story will we tell about our relationship with our God? We can tell a story of welcome. It's not a story of having to force our way into God's presence. It's not a story of twisting God's arm or somehow manipulating him to enduring us being near him. No, the story we tell is a story of welcome, of invitation, of God's wide open arms longing to bring us close to him. Hallelujah! Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, because his covenant love is forever. Who can speak of the great deeds of the Lord? Make heard all his praise. Blessed are those who watch over justice, who do what is right at all times. The God we draw near to is a God who welcomes us, who wants to be approached, a God who is good. He is faithful in his love towards us. Our God has done and continues to do great deeds on behalf of his people, mighty works of power and grace. We could stand forever and speak of his mighty works and not declare them all. He is a God who promises blessing. His face is turned towards his people, smiling. His presence is with his people. In telling our story, we include God. We approach God, we place ourselves in his presence, and we never leave. We are in the presence of God. And so when we tell our story, we include God because he's right there with us. We don't miss him out in our telling of our story. If you were stopped in the street by someone with a clipboard and they asked you, tell me three things about yourself, and they stood with their pencil and they were ready to write down the three things that you were going to say about yourself, what would you say? What would you mention? Perhaps you might speak about your job or your family or your home or your hobbies or your interests or your whatever it is you might speak about. It would be easy not to speak about God. And I think many of us tell our story in that way. We just don't include God in our story. But in actual fact, our story begins with God, has God in the middle, and ends with God. Every day, our story is lived in the presence of God who welcomes us. Perhaps you're thinking your story doesn't include God. Well, it can. It absolutely can. If only you draw near to Him. If only you would approach Him. Consider your life. Take time to notice where God is involved already in your story. Recognize God at work in the world round about you, in creation, in the lives of your neighbors and your friends. Draw near to God. Say to Him, I'm starting to see you at work in my story. I'm beginning to recognize you involving yourself in my life. Thank you for that. As you see God at work in creation, draw near and praise Him. What a glorious God you are. Let these be the first steps for you as you approach God and find yourself caught up in His great story. As you draw near to God, He is going to run near to you to catch you in His arms and include you in His great story. We can tell a story of petition, which is a fancy word for asking for things. God is the one who holds the whole world in His hands. God is the one who is powerful to meet our every need, to help in every time of our trouble. By grace, as we live in God's story, we get to ask Him for things. The story is not we approach God and then we get to be seen and not heard. It's not the story. The story is we get to approach God, which we did in verses 1 to 3, and then we get to ask Him for things. And we see this twice in Psalm 106, here in verses 4 and 5. Remember me, Lord, when you act in favor to your people. Visit me when you save them. Remember me, visit me, see me, notice me. In the Bible, whenever we read that God remembers His people, and that phrase comes up quite a lot, it comes up in, for example, Exodus chapter 1. There was a king came up in Egypt who did not remember Joseph, and he persecuted the people of Israel, but then God remembered the people of Israel, the Bible says. And when we read that, not only does God, they come to His mind, it means that God does something because of what He remembers. God seeing, noticing, visiting, is God acting on behalf of those He sees, those He notices, those He visits. Remember me, Lord. What situation do you find yourself in? Perhaps you're in a time of ill health, waiting for test results, struggling with pain. You can ask God to remember you, to notice you, to come and act in your life, in your situation. Are you worried about finances, about your job? Are you worried about your family and some situation that's come up in their life? Remember me, God. Notice me. Notice the things that I'm worried about and do something about them. That's what you can ask God to do. Hear the gospel promise. God will always listen to your words of petition. God will not fail to hear when you ask him for something. God will turn his ears towards you and pay attention to what you ask him. The gospel does not promise that God will always answer in the way that you think he should. Petition is asking God, not telling God how to answer what you ask him. But he will answer. He will notice. He will remember you. And there's a sure way that I can prove this to you. I'm absolutely certain that I can prove this to every one of you without question. What you have to do is try it. What you have to do is ask God for something. Ask him to see you, to notice you, to remember you. And he will. He will pour grace into your life in answer to your petition. Second petition is at the end of the psalm in verse 47. Save us, Lord our God. Gather us from the nations. Not a me request, but an us petition. The story we tell of our God can never be a selfish story. Yes, it is about me, but it's never only about me. We tell a story in which we are made part of God's people, included in God's family, gathered into the great kingdom of God, a story of inclusion and belonging. Save us, gather us. You need this prayer. You need this request. You need this to be your story, that each and every day, in each moment of every day, God saves you. Jesus is your savior all the time. Sometimes I think we forget. Those of us who've been Christians for years, we think to ourselves, oh, Jesus saved me, but that was a long time ago. We forget that each and every day we need to be saved. This prayer is not a one-off thing. It's not like, save me from drowning by lifting me out of the water and putting me into a lifeboat. It's not like that. It's like, save me from drowning in the waters when you don't have a lifeboat because your hand holds me up. And even if there's never going to be a lifeboat, you save me from the waters because you hold me up all the time. You keep my head above the water all the time. Save me is not take the waters away. Save me is hold me up. Keep your hand under my head all the time, every moment of every day. We need this prayer all the time. If you don't hold us up at every moment of every day, we're going to drown. You need this to be your story, especially if you're just starting to follow Jesus. The great work of God in Jesus, the great big story that God is telling through Jesus, is of his work, his purpose, to lift you up, to save you, to keep your head above the waters. You need saving every day. You need Jesus to save you every single day. You need him to hold you up. This is where your story of following Jesus becomes part of God's great big story of renewing and reconciling all creation. Make this your story. Especially if it's not yet been part of your story. Today's a good day to pray, save us, save me. Ask for this. God will come quickly to answer you. Then we can tell a story of confession. This is the biggest part of the psalm, verses 6 through 39. Because I think it's the bit we choose to miss out. We don't forget about this bit. We know it's there, but we don't want it there. We choose not to tell this as part of our story. But notice some points of connection, the way the psalm tells this story. We have asked God to remember us. That was our petition in verse 4. But then in verse 7, we confess that we have not remembered God. In verse 13, we confess that God has been forgotten by us. Don't we sometimes live like that? Day by day? As though we've completely forgotten God? And he wasn't there at all? We need to confess that. We've prayed for the salvation of all God's people, verse 47. We've included all in this prayer. But then we need to confess that we've been jealous of God's people, verse 16. Jealous of Moses and Aaron. Who is there in the family of God that we get jealous of? Who is there here today and we look at them and we think, oh, it's all very well for you, you're getting on fine. But you don't know their story. How does it work when we're with a friend who tells us about their church and the great things that are happening there and we get jealous of them because we don't think they're happening here? We need to confess our jealousy of one another. We come to God to be part of his story, verses 1 to 3. That's where we started. We approach God. But then we need to confess that we rebel against him, verse 33. That we worship non-gods. Verse 19, 20, 28, 36, 37, 38, and 39. There's quite a lot of that going on. Don't we rebel against God? We hear his word. We should live patient lives, kind lives, generous lives. And we absolutely don't do that. We should worship only God. And yet we create gods out of things which are good. Our families, our jobs, our home, our possessions. And we sacrifice and worship to them rather than God. If we're to tell a true story of ourselves, we must tell of our failures, our sin, our rejection of God, our rejection of his word, our rejection of his grace. The human heart is a factory for the manufacture of idols, and we are good at it. We never go on strike, we never take holidays, we never have downtime because there's a power cut and all the power's gone out. Moment by moment, our heart naturally turns us towards idols. We need help with confession. Thanks be to God that in Jesus we have the gift of God's Holy Spirit to shine the light of God's truth into our life, showing us where we need to confess. This is not a new part of the story. This is not for us only. As Sam tells us, our fathers and our mothers sinned and had to confess. This has always been part of God's story. He calls us. He saves us. We reject him. We worship other gods. We resist him. And then we confess. And God is gracious to us. Verse 8, yet he saved them for his name's sake to make known his might. The confession of our sin does not achieve our salvation. Our salvation is achieved by the grace of God in Jesus the Savior, his death on the cross and his resurrection. Confession is the story we tell of ourselves. A truthful story. We are saved by grace and still we get it wrong. Still we fall. Still we fail. But we confess and we are saved by grace. And that's our story until he comes again. This is a story we need to tell ourselves and to tell others. But we can also tell a story of praise And this is where the psalm finishes. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. All the people say, Amen and Hallelujah. The story we tell is a never-ending story because our God is never-ending. He is from everlasting to everlasting. The story we tell is a story for all people everywhere. Yes, He is the God of Israel. But His purpose always was that Israel would tell that story to the world. And now this is the mission given to the church. We have a story to tell to the nations. A story of this great God who loves everyone and who longs for everyone to be gathered into His kingdom. This is a story which gets to praise of our God, having moved through the chapters of approach and petition and confession. You don't get to the fourth chapter without working through the first three. Story doesn't make sense that way. You can't jump in right at the end. We praise our God because He welcomed us when we approached. We praise our God because He heard our petitions and our requests. We praise our God because even though we fail Him, He is faithful in forgiving and generous in grace. And once we know these things, we praise Him. Hallelujah. This isn't a made-up story. This is the story. This is a story you need to be able to tell from your perspective because it's your story. How do you draw near to God? What are you asking God to do in your life, in your situation? What are you confessing before God that's particular to your story? What is it that you want to shout and praise to God about from your situation? Thank God, at times we can share together and we can find that our shared story is also true. It's true for each one of us on our own, and it's true for all of us together. This is the real story because it's my story and also our story. The story you can tell is a story of being welcomed by God your Father in Jesus your Savior. A story of the Father listening to you and answering you. Story of the Father working wonderful, amazing grace in your life as He forgives your sin. A story of great joy and delight as you sing the praise of your one God, whose story is also your story. Let this be the story that you're going to tell today and every other day. Let's pray together. Father, we want to be in this story. Because this sounds like a better story than any film we've ever seen or any other book we've ever read. We want to be in this story. And so we want to come to you. Open your arms and welcome us, we pray. We want to have the courage to ask you to notice us and be at work in our lives, to trust that you will hear us. We want to be so safe in your love that we will confess to you our sin, confident that you will forgive us. And so we want to praise you, celebrate your goodness, fill our lives to overflowing with your story, that we might ever worship you. Let this be our story, today and every day, we pray, in Jesus' name.